Hello and welcome to another edition of the Daily Iowan's Beyond the Buzzer podcast. I'm Adam Hensley.
And I'm Pete Rudin.
Pete, it's good to be back.
It's great to be back. It's been a minute.
It has. And for kids like us, we've been on a little winter break.
Yeah, can't complain about that, though.
Yeah, a little hiatus, a little time off from work. Not really. Still covering stuff. But, yeah. Did you have a good break?
Oh, I had a fantastic break. What about you?
I had a very nice break.
How was Tampa?
Tampa was great. Good. I went to Tampa, for those who don't know, for the Outback Bowl. Got to see Iowa beat Mississippi State. Good time. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. If you're on the trip, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so the other night, Iowa beats Penn State on the road, and that was one heck of a shot by Jordan Bohannon in the game's closing minute there.
It was. I tweeted that that's a shot you only take in 2K when the sliders are turned all the way up and you know it's going to go in. That there's no chance of it, like, rimming out.
Yeah. And as far as, like, the defense, so no one was really near him. So in that sense, that's a good shot. However, he's back with almost a foot at the logo there.
15 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah. It's, in that sense, it was a good shot. I mean, give him credit. He has the confidence and pulls up and just drills this thing from the parking lot.
Yeah. I detected you. He shot that from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. That was big shot. And it reminded me, obviously not the same sense where it was like that late in the game, but a few years ago when Iowa State was in Iowa City and the Cyclones went on a little run, it was Bohannon who stepped up and just drilled a long three to bump Iowa's lead back to double digits. And it was a shot like that where I was like, this kid, I give Bohannon credit. I'll critique him here and there, but his confidence really never wavers. He said it did earlier this year. But, I mean, to pull up from that distance with that, like, 15 seconds on the clock, or on the shot clock with the time winding down to the game itself, that's just that's a big-time shot.
Yeah, he has ice in his veins. And even Fran McCaffrey said it's a good shot because he took it. Just imagine your coach having that much confidence in you that you can take what is, in all reality, a bad shot.
Yeah.
That was not a very smart shot with how much time on the shot clock. But if you're going to make it and your coach, like, knows that you're going to make it, that's something else.
Yeah, obviously two different scenarios here, but it reminded me with that whole thing where, like, bad shot, what are you doing, what a shot. Ollie Faroukmanesh with you and I.
That's exactly what I thought of, too.
Pulling, like, up.
You don't need to take that shot, no. But if you make it, the game is over.
Yeah.
Both daggers.
Nail in the coffin.
Yep.
And that ended up being another four straight wins in conference play for Iowa.
For the first time since the 2016-17 season.
Yeah. And it's
they had four wins in all of conference play last year.
Yeah.
Now they have four in a row.
Yeah. More wins than they had last year, too, in total.
It's January, so.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive how this team has turned it around. It's also impressive what Iowa's doing with injury, too, because guys are dropping like flies, especially in the front court. Obviously, Pemsel had his issues where with his leg where he was going to get surgery redone or whatever, and it was also a big question mark if he was going to put it off or not. Jack Nungy's redshirting, but he still got hurt in practice. Garza was hurt for a while, too. Mm-hmm. And now Cook was out. But I think the huge takeaway, not to discredit Bohannon's shot, but just the fact that it was another game where it was a gut punch to Iowa, and Iowa managed to still win despite not having Tyler Cook playing. It was kind of like the Northwestern game where another road contest where both teams are back and forth, and it's a game where last year Iowa loses this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the thing is, even without Cook, both of those wins were on the road. Mm-hmm. And start the season, Iowa couldn't buy a win on the road.
Oh, no. And obviously, I mean, Penn State's a little different environment than out in East Lansing or in Purdue. But nevertheless, like,
I mean,
winning on the road is hard regardless.
Team.
Oh, yeah.
Penn State has a few decent players. They had Stevens and Watkins.
Yeah, and Iowa always has trouble on the road at Penn State, it feels like.
Yeah.
So,
and
that, yeah.
Another thing is, speaking of Lamar Stevens, Iowa has been phenomenal on the defensive side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
These past few games. I mean, they had Eric Pardon, Caleb Wesson, Lamar Stevens. Stevens is averaging over 18, Wesson's over 16, I think, and Pardon is just over 13. None of them scored over 10 against Iowa.
Yeah. I don't, a week or two ago with the Ohio State game with Wesson and how Iowa
Wesson
defended
had two,
him.
I think, that game.
He got in foul trouble early, but Iowa just shut him down. And it was, I think it's a huge part of why Iowa won, obviously, because he has his way with guys in the paint. Mm-hmm. And as a whole, the defensive intensity has just really picked up for Iowa this year. And you can see with some of the individual guys, like, I mean, even Tyler Cook and Garza when he's out there, because Garza missed some time. But Ryan Kreener and Nicholas Bear have been two guys that have just gone off defensively. Touch this more as this podcast goes on, but guys have, even with Tyler Cook's absence and with Garza when he was out, like, Bear and Kreener have stepped up in a big way for Iowa, and it's no coincidence that it's at the same time when Iowa's winning four conference games in a row.
Yeah, and as big as Kreener has been on defense, which has been pretty huge, he's been fire on offense, too. I mean, in the past five games, he's been in double figures four times, and he reached that mark just once in the first 13 games.
Yeah.
So he's come on when they needed him big time.
Yeah. Defensively, if you're into advanced stats, stuff like that, I am. I'm a numbers junkie, especially when it comes to basketball. Bear and Kreener are the only players on Iowa who have a defensive rating below 101. So a defensive rating is an estimate number of points allowed per 100 possessions. His defensive rating is 92.5, so estimating 92.5 points per 100 possessions. That's less than a bucket every possession. Like, obviously, it's not bad. That is less than a bucket every other possession.
Mm-hmm.
So every two shots. Then right behind him is Kreener with 97.3. And also with, as far as these other advanced metrics go here, steal percentage, Nicholas Bear is averaging a steal like on 4.1% of his possessions, and that's not a lot, but like, as Nicholas Bear has 26 steals so far this season in just 18 games, that's not too shabby.
Not at all. And so that's something that doesn't come around like all that often. Like, you're not gonna see guys like putting up crazy the numbers in the steals department, unless you're like Chris Paul or something like that.
Going back to the stats, I guess, for a defensive box plus minus, so that's it's pretty much a little rating each player can get for their defensive effort when they're on the court. And nobody on Iowa, at least out of the starters, the best starter outside, like consistent starter at least, is Tyler Cook. He is a 2.5, a plus 2.5 in that category. Nicholas Bear is a plus 6.9.
Nice.
Very nice. It's also more than double Cook's rating defensively. And I'm not saying Cook's not a good defender, but Nicholas Bear, when he's out there, he's shown the ability to shoot the ball this year, but when he's out there, he's there for stops.
And then there's Kreener at 3.8, too.
Yeah.
I mean, these two guys have just been irreplaceable on defense.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously, like we said, it's a huge part is Iowa starters out there, they get points, but they also need help with defense. And Bear and Kreener give them all the credit in the world because they've had probably the big extension in minutes, especially with injuries, and they've stepped up to the task. It's been pretty impressive.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, so we'll get into some questions now. Before every episode we put out, we usually tweet out or Facebook, depending on what we're feeling. Just a little post about, hey, tweet at us your questions, and we got some responses.
And like we said last time, we eat these questions for breakfast.
Oh, we love the questions. We love this sort of engagement.
We thrive on these questions.
We're here for the fans.
And I think one of the people that submitted a question, good old Henry Baranowski, said the fans of our podcast call themselves buzzers.
I don't know if I like that.
I like that.
Okay. I don't know. I feel
like that.
Maybe. I feel like it's just Henry who calls himself that. But
yeah, it definitely is. But
we'll get right into a question from good old Hank right now. So he says, realistically, how deep of a run can this Iowa team make in the Big Ten tournament? I think Iowa can make a deep run in the tournament this year.
I do too. But at the same time, you saw it against Penn State. You might see it again against Illinois on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised. No game is a guarantee.
True.
They're all close.
I think it's just a testament to the league, though.
Yeah.
And because the Big Ten, in my opinion, is the best conference in college basketball.
Top to top, bottom, it's so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I checked last weekend. 10 of the 14 teams were either ranked or receiving votes. That doesn't happen in any other conference.
Yep, they've got two teams in the top six. Michigan State is in number two in the AP poll. Michigan State is number six. Then you've got Maryland at 19, Iowa at 23, and Indiana at 25. And then you've got teams, I'm pretty sure, was it Minnesota and like Nebraska maybe receiving votes?
And Ohio State.
Yes. So going like any team can realistically.
And Wisconsin might have been too, actually.
Yeah, I don't see a first round exit in the tournament out of this team.
Not this year, no.
Yeah, you got the offense is clicking for the most part, which is a typical of a McCaffrey team that he never really produces teams that don't do well offensively. It's just defense has been the issue, and this year defense has not been the issue. So, like I said, I don't see an early exit by any means in the tournament. I don't know if they win at all just because Michigan and Michigan State are pretty good.
Yes, that Michigan game in Carver on February 1st is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, and then that's going to be big.
And Michigan State comes to town like a few days before too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have two top six teams coming to Iowa City in about 8 days, I think.
Yeah, and obviously Iowa plays... I mean, I think it's hard to disagree with this, but Iowa plays very well at home compared to the road, especially against those top teams, because Iowa's knocked off Sparty when it was number one a few years ago, and obviously the road was a different story this year. Neutral site, though, in Chicago, anything can happen.
They perform well on a neutral court in New York City.
True, this is true.
2K Classic.
Yeah.
So won the title.
We'll see. Henry also asks, what's Tyler Cook's timetable to return from injury?
If I had to guess, he'll be back Sunday.
Yeah, I think he'll be back against Illinois. Like Fran had said earlier, his ankle injury was not as serious as Lucas. Lucas was an issue right away where you're like, he's going to be out for a while. He said Tyler's is nothing like that.
Yeah, and Cook was warming up before Penn State just fine. He could run on it, just wasn't as explosive as he wanted to be. Couldn't make those cuts as well as he wanted to.
Yeah. So next question comes from Emily Hay. She asks, what, if any, changes needs to be made for this Iowa team to set themselves up for success come March? My answer would just be stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Iowa, like I said, can hang with any team in the conference, and a lot of teams outside of the Big Ten as well, but it's just a matter of having everybody at full strength.
Because an injury to Cook that would force him to miss an extended period of time would be the worst thing that could happen. Whether it's Cook or Garza or Jabo, these are guys that you can't replace on offense.
Yeah, and as much as there are some people out there who claim that Iowa would be better without Tyler Cook.
Not a chance.
Yeah, no way. That's a dumb statement to make. If you think that Iowa is better off without Tyler Cook, don't show up to Carver or any other game. That's just a moronic statement.
I mean, he's been the team's leading scorer ever since Peter Jock left for 2 years now.
Yeah, and his defense is solid. His offensive game is limited. Regardless, though, he gets points when he wants to in the paint.
Yep.
Better than Garza, I'd say, is there, but Cook is just a human bucket when it comes to inside the paint. He can muscle anybody around. I just don't understand how you could possibly think that I was better off without him.
And who wouldn't want to see his dunks?
Exactly.
They're too fun.
Oh, yeah. He's a highlight reel. He's also like a
He's winning the college basketball dunk contest if he were to compete in it.
That'd be fun to see him in that.
He's my pick, I think.
Well, well, well. Not Zion.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Just kidding. Sorry, Zion. So please don't hurt me. I pick you.
Next question comes from one of our coworkers, Roman. He says, does Iowa have a legitimate chance at going deep in the NCAA tournament? What do you think, Pete?
How deep are we considering deep?
Past a play-in game?
Yes, I think they can make it past a play-in game.
I think
depending what their draw is, I think they could maybe be a Sweet 16 team.
They have to get, for me to see a Sweet 16, they've got to be in a very, very favorable situation, have all guys healthy, and they got to come in on a hot streak.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if the bracket isn't favorable, I don't think they get there. I think they win one game, maybe get to the round of 32. But if it's a favorable bracket, I think they can hang.
Yeah, realistically for me, I see a round of 32. I think the Big Ten tournament will play a big role in Iowa's momentum, because if for some reason Iowa stalls, like, you know, fairness, it has recently in the Big Ten tournament, there's like no momentum going into the tournament there. However, if Iowa ends up making it to like the semifinals or to the conference championship game, I still think that's sort of momentum that Iowa could use for a deep tournament run in March.
But if I had to make a wager,
okay,
if I had to place a bet,
all right, let's hear it, Mr.
Gambler. Let's go to Vegas.
All right,
go to your neighborhood sports book.
Okay.
I am betting on Iowa getting to the round of 32.
Okay. I would as well.
I think they have at least one win in them.
Yeah. Unless for some reason this team ends up going on a downward spiral.
Yeah, if it falls apart, obviously there's a lot that can happen between now and March.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But if I had to say right now, I think they make it to the round of 32.
Yeah. Okay. So Pete's brother, Ryan Rudin, tweeted at us for the question. His question is, why does Pete have a girlfriend from Wisconsin, but he won't have her get me Spotted Cow, even though I asked a million times and would pay for it? Pete?
I forgot. Sorry, Ryan.
All right. So there's one.
There it is. The question you all were wondering.
Quinn Douglas throws out a question here. Better long-range shooter, Kyrie or J-Bo? So for those who don't know, the other night, the Celtics beat the Raptors in the NBA, and Kyrie had a shot that, in my opinion, a little better than J-Bo's. He had a foot up at the logo. Kawhi Leonard, arguably the league's best defender, literally right in his face, perfect contest on that shot, and he drills it. Boston goes up by 4. I do have to say, to answer this question, though, I think Bohannon is the better consistent long-range shooter. That's his game. That's what he thrives on. I think Kyrie is better cutting to the basket, pick-and-roll guy, different games, but I'd probably go. I'm not here to say that, like, Bohannon would beat an NBA player in a shootout.
Yeah, no.
No. So I'd probably go Kyrie, actually, on this one, just because of that fact.
You know, I'm going to go off script on this one.
Okay.
Say my guy, Victor Oladipo. Let's go Pacers.
We're going to pretend like that didn't happen. Check that Pacers-Celtics game from about a week ago.
Check the Pacers-Celtics game from a couple months ago. And the standings recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the record, Boston would beat Indiana. I'm gonna put this on the record.
You owe
now.
Me wings still. We made a bet last NBA playoffs. Adam still owes me wings because he didn't think the Pacers would take the Cavs to, I think, 5 games.
Yeah, I said 5.
Yeah, you were wild then.
I'm gonna make another statement here on the mic series, so we can go back to this if you ever, when you start complaining, be like, you didn't say this. If Boston and Indianapolis meet in the playoffs.
Indianapolis.
The oh, my
Colts
God.
Are playing basketball now?
I just don't like the state of Indiana and its teams. It's a boring state.
Okay, chill, man.
Teams are bland.
You're bland.
Teams are vanilla.
Shut the
anyway,
front door.
So, if Boston and Indiana meet in the playoffs, Boston wins in five.
Want to bet?
We just shook on that. There you go. Anyway.
What are we betting, though? Wings?
Sure.
Okay.
Brothers Wings. We're not sponsored by Brothers, but...
They are good, though.
They're good wings. 25-cent wings Wednesdays.
Also,
it's the move.
P-dubs Tuesday. Buy one, get one. Catch me there every week.
Yeah, but support local. I'd rather pay like $5 than like $15 for...
I'm just saying, 24 wings, man.
Fair enough. Here we go. Got a question from one of Pete's roommates here.
Yes.
Do you want to do the honors?
Okay. So, Kiefer Bomber asks, hey guys, big fan of the podcast. Just a few questions. Number one, can you cry underwater? Number two, why do we drive on a parkway and park in a driveway? And number three, is a cold hot pocket just a pocket? Thanks in advance. Well, Kiefer, you came into the right place.
We're here to answer your questions. I think you can cry underwater.
I think you can cry underwater because the water is from your eyes. Tears are from your eyes.
Plus, he didn't specify this. You have, like, goggles on. You can start crying.
Easy.
Yeah.
That's light work.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, too easy. Okay. Yeah. Number two.
Drive on a parkway and park in a driveway.
You know, I can't say I know the exact answer to this.
See, if we made up these words, like if we were the ones who created these words, I think we'd be able to give him a good rationale.
But we are not those guys.
Oh, no.
We're the basketball guys. That,
not the...
That right words.
The driveway parkway guys.
Yeah.
Thank God. We'll put that one as a TV to be determined here. Is a cold hot pocket just a pocket? Let me ask you this. Would you put your loose change in a cold hot pocket? Or your keys or your phone?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
That's not a safe place for them.
That's a foolish move. So I guess that's it for questions. Iowa hosts Illinois on Sunday.
At noon at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Hoping we see Cook back. I think...
It'll make for an entertaining game.
Yeah, as we said earlier, league's pretty deep. Wouldn't be surprised if Illinois gave Iowa a little trouble, especially early on. But
yep,
I think this is a game Iowa should win by like 15 points or more. We'll see.
I don't think it'll be more, really. I think it'll be right around that 10-point range.
Yeah.
10 to 15.
Yeah.
But.
I think it'll be, you'll feel comfortable at
the
end.
Yep. I agree.
So anyway, I guess that's it for us. If you've got questions or topic suggestions, tweet at us. Let us know.
I'm at PD Rudin.
And I'm at @A_Hens83.
And also at the Daily Iowan.
True, yes.
Got to put on for the brand.
Yes, tweet at the DI if you got questions. That's all we got. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Yep.